everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 3, entitled Monsters. It's written by Matthew Negrete and Channing Powell, and directed by Greg Nicotero, who have all worked on the show. Gary, we watched the episode twice now. What did you think?
I loved some of it. I loved some of the episode, and some of the episode was a big, huge dislike. The parts with the King in it, I loved, no doubt. I mean, I speak about him all the time. Love his character. The part with Jesus, It was just sort of weird to me. It's like a big why.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Why are you doing this now?
And it's like, again. I think that's the... So we enjoyed the episode. I enjoyed it. Sometimes you don't enjoy it as much when you watch it a second time because you're writing notes and you're noticing stuff you didn't notice before. I think the biggest dislike of the show, which I'll sort of compare it to Arrow because I watch Arrow, and Arrow's done the same shit over and over. And I feel like Walking Dead is doing the same shit over and over. And I know they've been on for a long time, so it's hard to keep something fresh when you've been on that long. But I don't know. They could do it. Or they don't have to always have like a one bad, big bad villain. They can have some small villains in between. Like, they're always fighting just like that one big villain. It's like it's the governor, you know. Now it's Negan, and or it's the Terminus people. And, well, Terminus people are only for a few episodes. But I want to see like other villains come in, like kind of like the trash people betrayed them or whatever, even though they sucked. But I don't know, they need to reinvent themselves because some of it's just getting old, like the Jesus stuff. It's like, wait, you're now considering not killing people when everyone else, you know, we've seen it with other characters already in the past. It's just, it's old.
And this came out of the blue, like Jesus was killing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, halfway through, when I guess the guy comes out the closet.
Wait, Gary, he kills. He has killed.
Right. So when a guy come out the closet, you know, all of a sudden he gains a conscience.
Yeah, like, especially after the guy betrayed him. Like, okay, this is weird.
The guy betrayed him and he still wanted to save him.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't like that part of it. But we'll see where it goes. We'll see. All right, so if this is your guys' first time listening, the way the podcast works is we do our likes and then we do our dislikes and then we have listener letters and award and prediction. Make sure you can write us dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter at theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. And you can also give us a review and rating on iTunes if you haven't done so yet. So we greatly appreciate that. All right. So first on the likes list, I know I talk a lot of shit about Ezekiel and like his long speeches. And
you talk a lot of shit about Ezekiel.
The dramaticness of it. But I will say the beginning of the episode when they kept going back and forth to Ezekiel's speech and then going back to them killing the saviors, like how they trapped the saviors, I liked it. Like, sometimes it doesn't work when they try to do a back and forth so close together, but I actually like that scene.
Right. I listened to it on the way to work.
The scene?
Yep. It's that scene. I got motivated.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I shall conquer this day.
I mean, although I did hear a lot of criticism for him throughout the episode, keep saying, we will not lose, we will not lose, we will not lose anyone.
And I will not lose one rank.
I'll talk about that later because it reminded me of something. All right. When Aaron was saying sorry to Eric and Eric responded, are you the one who shot me? I thought it was just funny, you know, like he's about to die, but he still has humor. I liked that part.
That was one of the parts I didn't like. But that runs into the episode before. The whole Aaron, Eric, that whole scene. I just don't like that right there. It just didn't make any sense.
What didn't make sense about it?
Just the whole thing, the whole storyline.
Like Eric becoming brave or whatever? Like or
Eric getting shot. Now Aaron got to carry him out of the war zone of fighting. Once he carry him out, why do we have to go back? You know, they're winning, but no, I got to go back. Or why did he leave in the first place?
Yeah, I did see people say that, like, okay, well, why did you leave Aaron? Because you guys at the time were winning. You know he was about to die. Why didn't you just stay and watch him, like, be with him while he on his last few minutes of dying?
Right.
You know, even though at the same time, I was questioning, I think Sunday night, I questioned if Eric really did die. But now going back and looking at it again, yeah, like there was a lot of blood on the tree. He did leave the gun, so why would he leave the gun if he was still alive? And even if he was kidnapped, why would the person who kidnapped him leave the gun? So I'm pretty sure the walker that Aaron saw in the far distance was probably Eric. So I'm going to say Eric maybe. Is dead, probably. But just knowing The Walking Dead, they'll love to bring, like, all of a sudden Eric shows up at Alexandria, like, as a zombie or whatever.
Or he's a Negan Knight now.
Yeah, they like doing that type of stuff. Just weird shit, you know?
You left me on a tree, and the Negan saved me. I had to choose.
Yeah.
He's the next villain.
All right, so when Daryl killed Morales, and I think I even questioned sending that, or I don't know if I did it on the podcast, but when I was talking to you, Gary, I was like, well, maybe Morales is still alive, but I think you said Daryl shot him in the head, or...
Yeah.
So, but it was funny when Daryl was like, I know who that was, it doesn't matter, not one little bit.
Right.
Like...
Morales was angry.
Yes. What was... I think that was a dislike, but why was he so angry at Rick? I don't
understand why he was so angry at Rick. I know he was angry because he lost his family.
Yeah, but he was, like, personally mad at Rick.
Like, Rick personally killed his family.
Yeah.
So you're the Rick they've been talking about, I figured.
No more officer friendly, which is a good callback to season one, but okay.
Yeah, he was a little too angry at him. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Just him being there. You know, he wouldn't have survived. We all know he wouldn't have survived. He wouldn't have made it this far.
It's not that he wouldn't have made it this far, but him saying, like, oh, we went through the same... I don't know. It's just weird that he was there. Like,
I don't think he would have made it this far.
You don't think so?
No. You know, he's not as brave as the other people that made it.
I just don't see how he ended up there. It's just too coincidental. It's just too much. Like, okay. I don't know. That I just don't see that happening. That was my problem with it, mainly.
Right.
All right. Next on the list, likes list. The second tier, like, group of saviors that were all tied up, you know, the first ones ran off and the ones that Daryl chased down, like, they were all in unison, so they were able to run. Like, come on, get together. And then when the second saviors tried to run off and they immediately tripped, like, 5 seconds into their run, they immediately tripped. I thought that was so funny. I was like, yep, it's not it. Because it would have been weird if they had both groups been able to run off. It's more realistic that tripped over ourselves, you know, because we're all tied up. Which, in the end, is what happened with the first group. That's why they got caught, because they ended up tripping over themselves after a while. So I thought that was funny.
Just the one guy surrendering. That was funny within itself. You know, when the first group ran, the second group, they tried to run. And,
yeah, and then
the guy took a knee, like, uh-uh.
They got guns.
They got guns.
Let's not even do it, yeah. All right, so I don't know why this is on the list, like, but maybe I just thought it was funny or the similarities, but Ezekiel is kind of reminding me of King Rob from Game of Thrones. Because, like, you know, King Rob, he was winning, like, battle after battle after battle. And, like, he couldn't be stopped, you know? The young wolf survives. Whereas Ezekiel, he's feeling himself, too. Like, he keeps winning battles and battles. And then it's going to be, like, when you least expected, not making a joke out of the Red Wedding, but it's, like, when you least expected, which is what happened here, this is when you get taken down. So, for some reason, when I saw the comparisons, I was like, it makes sense hearing him say that we're going to win. And then they don't.
The only difference is Ezekiel didn't get comfortable. He keeps pumping himself up, pumping his people up, which as a leader, you're supposed to do. But he stays on track. He's the one who saw the sharpshooters from a distance. So he may have saved a lot of lives, including his own.
Yeah. I mean, by that point, it was too late, which I don't know how he saw the sharpshooters. Like, every time when we watched it, I looked and I didn't
well he
see
probably
anything.
Saw like a glare or a little shine to know that someone's at a distance.
Okay
I mean, that was something that he saw, or he could have put two and two together.
Okay.
Now, speaking of the sharpshooters, we talked about this last night last night where I said maybe not Daryl, but what is the guy's name who gave him the plans to throw it out?
Oh, Dwight.
Dwight. Maybe Dwight did set him up. Maybe this is in Dwight's plan. Because we find out the guns were moved the day before they came through.
Right.
And I think Dwight may have set this up, or set both parties up, so Rick's group could take out Dwight's enemies. And then, like, toward the end, Dwight's, you know, those people right there could take out Rick's group. And now the White's the king.
Right, because I think, and it makes sense, because I think Dwight, he can't be with Negan anymore. There's just been too much shit. He's lost his wife, he's burnt his face, everything like that.
Right.
Yet at the same time, he knows he can never be with Rick's group, because he's done too much shit. Like how Daryl said, you know, fuck that guy, he's an idiot, he's a jerk. So he knows he can't be with both, and he doesn't want to be with Negan. So the only way to have his freedom, at least in his eyes, is probably to get rid of both groups. And how's that?
Correct.
You help one defeat the other, and then you're good.
And lead them right to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that theory. And we'll see what people wrote in if they mention it.
Because you're telling me Dwight didn't know they moved the guns. I mean, this was a trap. I mean, they were waiting for the group.
I agree.
And this also brought back likes from the show before, where the girl told them to lock it down. Because we mentioned this too. I was saying, why did she tell them to lock down the floors if the guns were already gone? But that may have been her baby up there.
Yes, little Gracie could be the baby. Yeah.
Could be hers.
Her baby.
And the guy who Rick killed, who was protecting Gracie.
Yeah, because that guy, he seemed like he was the father. He was protecting that baby at all costs. Yeah. So
I think that's why she told them to lock it down.
Okay. So she was saying lock it down, not to protect the guns, lock it down for the baby.
To protect her baby.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever find out, like, whose baby that was, but I think that's a good theory. It seems to work. She was young, you know, I don't remember what the guy looked like, but, okay.
And she had those mother instincts. You know, before anything happened, she said, something's not right.
Right.
Lock down the floor.
Next on the likes list is Morgan and Paul's fight. I really liked it. It was badass. Like, just why? I mean, the reason why they were fighting was stupid, but the fight itself was pretty cool.
I think that's why it was a dislike for me. The reason why they were fighting.
The reason why. Okay.
But the fight scene, it was okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it was cool. It was cool. Even though I still question, like, what season is it? Because Paul's jacket, it just doesn't seem right for fighting. Like, it seems like it would get in the way. It's so heavy. It's long.
That's what's wrong with it. That's why he keeps winning. It's a distraction.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
You'll get hot just fighting him.
Right.
Look at that jacket.
I'm like, okay, how can he fight? Like, every time I just want him to take the jacket off. Like, okay, I need to take this off. But he doesn't. So it's just weird.
So he's mind-fucking him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, I'm hot. I know he's hot.
All right, Daryl running out of bullets. I like that. Mainly because, which happened in this episode, but mainly because, like, here in The Walking Dead, it just sometimes seems like they just have a whole bunch of bullets. Like, the bad guys, the good guys, they're just shooting. No one's reloading or anything. And I think it's even a dislike later on because Daryl does seem to always have just perfect aim at everything he shoots at. But
that's a like for me.
I don't know.
But the reason it's a like because Daryl's been shooting all his life.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
You have everyone else just starting out. The only other person that's been shooting for a while is
Rick.
Well, we don't know how long Rick's been shooting. We know he was an officer for a little while, but we don't know how long he was an officer. But the only other person that's been shooting for a while is, what's that girl who died in the casket?
Oh, Shasta.
Shasta? Shasta.
Oh, Sasha.
Donald, we forgot already. Sasha. We're sorry, Sasha.
Yeah.
All
right, peace, Sasha.
But that's the only other person that Walking Dead let it be known that she's been shooting for a while.
Yeah. But him running out of bullets was cool. It was just cool. Like, okay, good. Then, you know, I'm tired of him having an endless amount of bullets, so.
Right.
All right, so Morgan, like, him saying he's not right, but it doesn't make him wrong. And I think he meant, like, okay, yeah, I know I'm not right mentally, but it doesn't mean that I'm wrong about this. Like, I know how I'm coming off or how I'm coming across, like, my words probably don't sound right, but I'm not wrong at the same time.
I love that.
Yeah.
It took me back to Hustle and Flow. When I'm right, I'm right. But when I'm wrong, I'm still right because I could have been wrong or I could have been right. So
I don't remember that scene, but I thought Morgan did a really good job. Like, I don't know, when he said that, I wanted to cry for him when he's like, I can't be here. I can't do this. I can't be a part of this. I thought that was a very moving scene because I was just like, damn.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Jesus taking the people back to their home. that they have kids, they have families. You are bringing an enemy inside your home. So if you think if Negan come and the people come to your gates, who do you think they're going to fight for?
Right.
So not only do you have enemies outside your gate, you have enemies inside also. I mean, somebody, you might as well put somebody in there to open up the door for Negan and them.
Right. No, I agree. Next on the likes list is Gregory. I love Gregory's humor. I like what he brings to the show.
Yeah, he's very entertaining.
I mean, of course, I hate the character, but I...
Damn, backstabber.
Yeah, I like him on the show. So when he comes to the gate and he's like, open the gates, and they crack it. He's like, what? Is the gate broken? I just thought that was so funny. And then after Maggie opens it a little more and starts telling him off, he's like, oh... The gate's not broken. Like, he realizes.
Like, he's back there like nothing happened.
Right.
Like, he didn't just try to betray him.
Of course the gate's not broken. Dude, it wasn't broken 3 days ago when you left. No, it's not broken. You're not welcome here. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When he's telling Maggie, I built this place. You weren't here for that. Some of us just didn't show up. I thought that was, like, the funniest thing ever. And I enjoyed it. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, his personality... Like, okay, that's the past. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Right.
That's just so crazy to me.
And then when Maggie's like, well, Cal told us what you did. You had him drive him there. And he's like, man, Cal can be delusional. And then Cal's like, I didn't know who this Cal was. But then he's like, hey. And he gives him the middle finger. So funny. And then the whole story of, I did not eat those pancakes. Like, I didn't even get what they were talking about. He said
you ate the kids' pancakes. Yes.
It was so, like, that whole scene was so funny. It was such a serious scene because Maggie, the whole time, she's looking serious. But the whole time, I was just dying laughing. It was so funny.
Yeah, this guy is a character. And there's people like that. There's people out there like that.
Yeah. They'll act like they didn't do shit. Like, they'll come back like nothing happened.
I work with people who will cuss you out, do whatever, go tell on you. And then in the next 5 minutes, they come speaking to you with a smile. Like, yeah, so how's your weekend?
Right. Like, you were just snitching the other day.
No, you were just snitching me 5 minutes ago.
And not only that, this is, like, worse than snitching. It's like you were trying to get me killed, like, pretty much, you know? But I enjoyed the scene. And then we'll talk about it a little bit later because it's going to sort of come up on the dislikes as well. All right, and that was the last like we had. Now onto the dislikes. Morales' speech... Didn't make any sense. He says, we'll get you to Negan or we won't. What the fuck does that even mean? What are you talking about?
They just want to give him a speech. They wanted to put that in there, kind of waste a little time.
I don't know why they brought him back. The only thing I can think is conspiracy. Like, dude had some hardcore evidence against, like, the creators of Walking Dead, the director, and he was like, y'all better give me one more episode. Or I'm snitching, I'm telling the secrets, and they're like, fuck, let's put him in here, we'll just have his character come back.
They couldn't think of anybody else, because when they brought him back, I'm like, why?
Something is deeper in the reason why he was brought back.
Because it wasn't like he was a major character.
Mm-mm. No, you had to go back to season one and be like, oh yeah, Morales, you know?
Go back to season one, like, did he even have talking scenes?
Yeah, he wasn't big enough character, like, stand out enough to remember bringing back. That's like them bringing back the lady that said that she was when she died in the CDC.
Yeah.
And if they would have brought her back, I'm like, oh, you know what? I ran out last minute. People still probably wouldn't have even remembered her character. It wasn't big enough character.
But I think that would have been a better bring back.
That might have been a better bring back. You're right.
Because she would have a value to bring to it. You know, she was in the CDC.
Yeah.
Maybe she could tell us something else.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, I left right at the last minute because I found out this. I tried searching for you guys, but I couldn't find you, blah, blah, blah. Like,
so I joined Negan.
I don't know. All right, Morales, next on the dislikes. Him, I mean, we kind of already discussed it, but him being so angry at Rick was a dislike. It was like, why are you so, like, he sounded personally mad at Rick. And maybe it goes back to my conspiracy theory that he really is mad at Andrew Lincoln for something.
He's probably just jealous. Jealous of the rest of the cast. You know, they made it so long. They get to go to the Walker Stalker Con.
Oh, yeah.
Set up a booth.
Stack they paper.
Right.
Even Lizzie, the little girl Lizzie, got a booth at Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah, so. She's a grown woman now.
Yeah.
With the same little picture of her as a little girl.
She has to have that picture up so people know who she was because she's grown now. Yeah, I always say, like, you know, you give me 3-4 good episodes on Walking Dead, I'll be at Walker Stalker Con for the rest of my life. Like, you set up for life after that.
You are.
Stacking your paper. If anything else fails, you're good.
And now he may get to go this year.
Yeah, he may. Because now he'd be like, okay, I came back as a villain. Come talk to me at Walker Stalker Con and ask me what I thought. I made it this far. Like, he's going to ride that Walker Stalker Con wave. At least for one season. From here on out, or at least next year.
Yeah. I might go see him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going to his booth.
Yeah. I'll get his backstory.
Yeah.
Like, so when did you meet Negan?
Right.
How did it go? Did they kidnap you?
Actually, he said how he met Negan. Remember, I was about to die, and they came and saved me.
Like, he was about to die where? You know, was he fighting walkers, and Negan and them showed up, killed the walkers? Was he about to shoot himself? I mean, I wouldn't know at all.
Yeah, and to me, it just didn't even seem like a Negan thing to do. Like, I don't know how they recruit their people, but it does seem odd that, like, they find him dying. They're like, oh, join us, rather than, like, make him a worker, be like how they did with other people. Like, how do they determine who's going to be a worker and who's going to be part of the Negan crew?
Maybe he didn't lose his family. Maybe he lost his wife to Negan.
Nah, he wouldn't have been with Negan like that. I don't know.
Dwight was.
Yeah, no, you're right.
All right, let's move on. We're going too deep into this.
All right, so next on the dislikes is the lone savior who randomly shot at Rick and Daryl. Like, this was a very big dislike to me.
Idiot.
You saw that they were leaving. Why didn't you wait until they were until they left? And then you could just do your own thing. Like, why did you randomly take this shot at them? It just didn't make sense.
Do you think he wanted to be a hero? He wanted to be the one to take out Rick?
Possibly, but one, did he even know who that Rick was? Because look at Morales. He's like, oh, so you're the Rick they're talking. Like, I don't think people know, everyone knows what Rick looks like?
That's a good question.
And then not only that, if you want to be the one to take out Rick, why did you only shoot one bullet? Like, it was weird. He shot one time and missed. You're going to take somebody out from that far of a distance. You better make sure you have good aim and that you're ready. And then there was two people, like, it was more of them than you. Why? It just didn't make any sense why he did it.
It was probably put in there to show us that Daryl's not playing anymore.
No, and I get that. Seeing Daryl kill the kid, and that's another thing. Like, the guy, he seemed super young. He just didn't even seem like he should have been out there. Like,
he don't seem like the type that would take that shot.
Right. Exactly. Because he gave up too easily. Gave up way too easily.
Yeah.
All right, so another dislike is Daryl having perfect aim.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about. I'm kind of tired of, like, when he killed the boy. He killed him, you know, he, like, shot him in the head. One good shot. And I looked, and he was a little close, but still. Like, so in this case, I'm going to say that Daryl needs to be the one that kills Negan, because obviously he can shoot anything, and he never misses his target. Whereas we have seen Rick and Carl try to shoot him at a very close distance and still miss. So I recommend Daryl to kill Negan.
Well, The Walking Dead has always made it clear that Daryl was a good shot. That Daryl and his brother used to do that while they were younger. They go out and hunt for their food. They were hunters. And like I mentioned before, Daryl, they made it clear. Sasha, they made it clear. And we can only assume that maybe Rick, he's a police officer, but like I said before, we don't know how long he's been doing it.
All right. Still dislike, but... All right, that's all we got for likes and dislikes. Let us know if we missed anything.
No. I do have a dislike.
All right.
Your like earlier was when Gregory came and they let him in.
Yeah.
That was a big dislike for me. Why let Gregory in? Like you said, he tried to have them killed. He wanted to trade them off. We're standing with Negan. Maggie's out there pregnant. You're threatening to put kids and families out?
Yeah, that is a dislike. Along with them letting the rest of the saviors. I mean, didn't they let the rest of the saviors in? Or was it?
Yeah, they let the rest of them in.
Okay.
So Maggie made a lot of questionable decisions. To let Gregory in. To let the Negan Knights in.
I thought it was funny, though, when the Negan Knights came, or the saviors came as their prisoners, And Gregory was like, no, these people are evil. We can't let them in here. I was like, dude, you just fought to let yourself in there. Not only that, 5 minutes ago, you said you guys stand with Negan. Now, aren't these your allies, Gregory? Aren't these your boys? So it was funny when he did that. Like, I still think he's super funny. So, but yeah, I did dislike that they let him in. Like, I don't know what they should do. Executing people seems harsh, but keeping them as prisoners, that costs, it's gonna cost too much time, food, and everything else. So manpower that they don't need to be wasting on that.
Manpower that's just dangerous. These people are committed.
Yeah.
They're committed to killing you.
Yeah. All right. So first email that we received today is from Stephanie.
That's Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie. She said, hello. First, let me say I love your podcast and thanks for reviewing my favorite shows and making me laugh while you do it. I had to write in because this last episode, Monsters, was so predictable. From Daryl killing Morales to Eric dying and then Carol and the King being ambushed after rejoicing when they thought they hadn't lost any fighters. Although I still enjoy The Walking Dead far more than Fear the Walking Dead, I'm going to need whoever is making the decisions on this show to reinvent the wheel and stop playing the same scenario over and over again, just with different villains for this group.
Right.
P.S. I also agree that King Ezekiel is so extra. I've had enough of his Shakespeare mess. A loyal listener, Stephanie C. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. Off. And I agree with you 100%, even with the Ezekiel part.
And that's everything Nicole's been saying, that they need to... a new storyline, stop the same scenario, and the King Ezekiel. Me personally, I have no problem with the storyline. I just have a problem with execution. Because this Negan storyline is different from when they were at the prison, when they were at the Terminus. This is a different storyline because I guess they're trying to gain their freedom. Plus, they're becoming Negan.
Yeah.
They're becoming the saviors. They've been touching on it the whole time. Like, I think Jesus mentioned it. Morgan mentioned it, that they're becoming the saviors. So this is kind of a different storyline, trying to get their freedom back. But the execution is the same, as always. This happens, then this happened, then we push back this way. But as far as King Ezekiel, man, love him. I love him. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. I'm okay with King Ezekiel. I'm just kind of tired of the extraness. Like, just drop it. Like, I don't see how he could be doing all that when something so serious is happening. Like, how he's still, like, giving a play, you know?
Maybe it's a coping mechanism. Maybe this is what he used to doing. This make it seem kind of normal for him. You know when something happens so bad and you just don't want to believe it and you want to keep doing what you've been doing in the past to try to have that little... normal still going.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So this is the way he copes with it. It, you know, this can't be real. You know, zombies killing you, this doing that. And he always wanted to be a star of his own play.
Okay, so he's just going to keep doing it.
So let me keep doing what I'm doing so I can cope with this craziness going on around me.
All right.
He's dedicated. He's not a quitter. So what else would have been quit by now? He never been a quitter in his life.
All right, we have an email from Tiffany.
Hey, Tiff.
Hey, Tiffany. She wrote, hey, I have to agree with you too. I haven't been excited to rewatch The Walking Dead for about a solid year. I realized how much I liked seasons 4 and 5 during the rewatch before episode 100. Alexandria was entertaining. I agree. I really liked season 5. I really did. I mean, yeah, there were some issues, but I enjoyed it. What to say? I'm about to have to hashtag Team Morgan because Jesus can go kick rocks.
Right.
Then Paul gonna turn around and be a good fighter and shit? Don't no one care. I mean, I did like the Paul fighting, but it was once again like, damn, you did... Well, actually, I was gonna say he did more harm to Morgan than he did to the fighters, but in a way, really, Morgan was attacking him, and he was just kind of like blocking it.
Defending himself.
Yeah, like, are you done? Are we done here? And then boom, boom, boom. Okay, are we done? So it was kind of cool. At the same time, I hated it because I don't like Paul anymore. And why pregnant Maggie got to make the hard decisions? I think the decision should be made in battle, and it should have been to kill the saviors.
Right.
Yeah. I really wanted Morgan to turn around and shoot that guy who kept talking shit. I did too. I hate when they have the villain that's captured but still talking shit. it's just so like villainy. Like, it's so, you know, it's like animated villainy, you know, one of those like Joker or something. I think everyone's trying to have their villains be like a Joker, because, you know, Joker would still talk shit even though he's behind bars. And I think that's what a lot of shows now try to go for. But it's like, stop it. Just stop, you know? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, you're right. He was a little outspoken.
Yeah.
About nothing.
Nothing.
But I wonder where he knows Morgan from.
I know. I was going to go back to see, like, because I know we recognized him.
Yeah.
But I was like, was he part of the wolf thing? Remember those wolf guys? Like, which... that storyline just disappeared. I mean, I know they killed a lot of them, but remember, they didn't kill all of them, because remember, Morgan let some of them go or whatever.
Right.
So I'm maybe trying to think. Wolf. Yeah, like, I keep saying, like, we know that guy. Like, that guy recognized before Morales. Like, I recognized that guy as soon as I saw him. He should have a booth at Walker Stalker. But I just don't remember from where. But obviously, it's something with Morgan. Oh, was he... when Morgan was with King Ezekiel, was he one of the guys where you go when they were trading the food?
I don't know. Because if he was, then he wouldn't say you traded sides.
Yeah, because he said something. So yeah.
Maybe he knows Morgan from Alexandria.
Okay.
And now that he's wearing the kingdom's outfit.
Right.
That's why he said, oh, you changed.
Yeah, I was hoping I would be able to read that somewhere, but I haven't seen anyone mention where he's from. All right, Tiffany continues. I have to say, Rick and Morales were very interesting. In Morales' eyes, Rick is the bad guy, but has to know that Negan bashes people's heads in, and that kind of takes away from any type of empathy feelings I might have had. I do appreciate Daryl not giving two hoots in who he keeps alive. Like, they're the saviors, and this is no moral quandary here. I was a prisoner here and tortured here. There's right. No more quandary here. They bash Glenn Abraham's head in. I'm seriously not having any moral quandaries here. Yeah.
I agree, too.
I mean, I don't know if everyone needs to be full Daryl, but they definitely don't need to be Paul.
They don't have to be full Daryl, but they need to come close.
Yeah. So what the hell was going on with the timeline in King Ezekiel? Like, what in the world? I know they won, but all the jumping ahead, it was only like 20 minutes ahead or back. So weird. So I think the only jumping they did with King Ezekiel was just in the beginning, from my understanding. Like, when he's giving the speech, he's saying, like, we're going to win this, and it shows them win that four.
Well, it shows him win it, then they jump back for the speech.
I know, but wasn't that only at the beginning, kind of? Because then...
I think it was throughout his storyline.
Well, I think it's just, it seemed like it was jumping, because he kept saying several times, we're not going to lose not one. We're not going to lose not one. So I think they had him say it in the beginning. So then at the end, right before they got attacked, he's like, not one. See, we still haven't lost not one. And by that point, it was like their third battle. Or at least that's how I took it.
Maybe it just seems like they did a lot of jumping. I'm with Tiff. It seems like they jump back. They jump forward. And after that battle, they jump backwards to talk about the speech before that battle.
Right.
Then they jump back four later on. Then we see them jump back a little bit for the next speech. So it seems like they keep jumping back so we can hear the speech he gave before the little battle.
Okay. All right.
Then they jump forward for the, see, I told you we didn't lose not one rank.
And she continues, he is very confident and I see why everyone follows him, but he don't got to be a 12. He can turn it down to an 8 and not lose the strength of his message, you know? Yes.
I disagree.
I know. He's just, it's too much. Too much right there.
I disagree. I think it's perfect. I'm telling you, on my way to work, I was listening to him. I was like, yes, if I get past Monday, I would certainly get past Tuesday.
If I get past Tuesday... you can make it to Wednesday.
I can make it to Wednesday, but that's where it ended. It ends. Yeah. It is today.
She continues, been loving the reviews and new write-ins. Yes, we love hearing from new people as well. Ain't fearing shit. I'm going to say Morgan because he's ready to bring the thunder. And I like the thunder. It needs to be brought out. Okay, that's it, Tiff.
Morgan, Tiffany. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. And thanks for writing in.
Thank you, Tiff.
All right, we have an email from Diane from Maryland. Good to hear from you again.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, Gary Nicole. Love the episode. King E was the best part.
Right.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
Thank you. I cracked up. Thank you.
We are clearly split on the King Ezekiel. You know, I mean, I loved King Ezekiel when we first met him. I still don't necessarily dislike him, but it's just like I cannot hang out with him. Like, he's just too much.
I can hang out with him all day.
No, just like Jerry. I like Jerry. Jerry's been pretty calm, but I like Jerry. But King Ezekiel is just too. It'd be too much to handle. So
let's invite King Ezekiel over. No. Have drinks. No. Picture King Ezekiel drunk.
Maybe he might actually be normal then. Who knows? All right. And she says, sorry to say that Eric really is a walker now. Aaron was watching him shamble away to the herd. You can also see the jacket that he tied around him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was in denial first time, but I do agree with you. I believe he is dead. Daryl has gone full rogue. Full rogue, y'all. First Morales, then the young guy outside. Rick might be having doubts about killing saviors, but Daryl sure doesn't.
True.
Very true.
And that's how everyone needs to be, or close to it, like
close
I said.
Close to it. I mean, if we go back to even season five, remember after they escaped Terminus, and Rick was like, yo, we got to go and kill everyone. Everyone's like, no, Rick, like, why go back? We escaped. And Rick told you, no, they're going to come back. Like, you got to finish them. And they did come back. And luckily, they were able to survive. Well, Bob got killed, but he was going to die either way. But still, like, they should just remember that Terminus situation. Like, not everyone's going to be like that, but you let people go. Yeah, the governor came back. I mean, they come back.
Everyone comes back. And that's why I was so confused about him being mad about Morales. He was like, no. Do you know who that is?
Yeah. When Rick tried to stop Daryl at the last minute.
Like, why try to stop him? Why give people your word? I won't kill him. Then when Daryl kill him, you look at Daryl kind of strange. I mean, you gave the speech before we got started that we need to take them all out.
Yeah, we're not going to be happy at it, but we need to do. I mean, the wolves, everyone comes back. They keep coming back. The people don't just get their ass whipped and be like, shit, okay, let me go. They always come back for some weird reason.
So I think Daryl and Morgan and someone else say kill them all. Who is it?
Tara.
Was it Tara?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tara. Tara said, yeah, kill him. I agree with you, Morgan.
Now, I will say I agree in some ways with Paul when he says, like, okay, this is war. We can have to live with these people. Like, I see what he's saying. Yet at the same time, you can't do war as we do war today versus war in the apocalypse. Like, there is no government order. These people are going to go rogue. They're going to do their own thing. They may strike back. It may not be today. May not be tomorrow. And maybe 5 years from now when your guys' guards are down, when you think, hey, everything's good. We're all raising families. We got our gardens growing. Jesus is teaching everyone karate and everything. And then, boom, this is when they decide to attack. Like, so I get what he's saying. I truly do. But unfortunately, it just, I don't know. It can't be. It can't. You just have to kill him, unfortunately. And then she wrote, happy that Rick went back for the baby. I heard the theory, but Gracie is not the little girl in the fantasy / flash forward. That's Judith. I think the bunny was a reused prop. If you notice, Rick does not have it when he gives the baby to Aaron. Well, hope the next episode is even better. Diane from Maryland. Okay, so right. She's talking about that theory we talked about, I think, on the Instant Cast.
Yeah.
That Chantel sent us. It was a theory online saying the baby in the flash forward, like the little girl in the flash forward that wanted to go out to the festival, is not actually baby Judith. It's the baby Gracie. Now, the only way that would come possible, because this little girl did call Rick her daddy, so that's only possible if we see later on in a few episodes that Aaron does not end up raising the girl, that he ends up giving her back to Rick, and that's why she would call Rick daddy.
Yeah, Rick and Michelle raise her.
But in a way, I could see it being possible, because like I said, we never saw Carl's face. We don't know what he looks like. And Rick did look much older than 3 years passing. So that little girl's, it could be really 6 years passing. So I could see that. I mean, I'm not completely sold on the theory. Yet at the same time, there is a lot of evidence that proves it. Like, I know she brings up the bunny. like, yeah, they probably could have reused the same prop and just, you know, like, oh, give this girl money, give this girl money, you know. But who knows? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm confused now.
So we'll see.
I was confused as, why is Rick so old and Michonne's the same age?
Michonne looked the same,
and the baby only aged like 2 years.
I mean, I would say 3 years if it's Judith, and 6 years if it's Gracie.
Maybe Rick is just stressed.
Yeah. I mean, that he's a leader. All right. Now on to I Ain't Fearing Shit. Who do you got?
I would have to give the I Ain't Fearing Shit to Daryl. Daryl was taking everyone out. He wasn't playing about anything this episode. He was down for the fight. Even after he killed Morales and the people came, Daryl was there to fight with Rick, to fight their way out. So Daryl was badass this episode. I would have to say he deserves the I Ain't Fearing Shit.
All right. I'm actually going to give it to Morgan. So I agree with Tiffany there. Morgan deserves the I Ain't Fearing Shit. He was strong. He did what he had to do. Like, he stuck to what he believed in, you know? And when Jesus tried to stop him, or Paul tried to stop him, he's like, okay, I can't be here then for that. Like, that, you guys do that shit, I'm not with it, I'm not going to be here for that. So I thought that took a lot of courage, more courage than, like, what Tara did, because Tara was just like, I agree with you, Morgan, like, I'd kill him then. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to blame Tara, because Morgan didn't kill the guy either, but I felt like him standing up to Jesus, him standing up for what he believed in, and just like, fuck it, I can't be a part of this then. I thought that was strong, and I liked it. I Ain't Fearing Shit to Morgan.
Okay.
All right, most likely to die next week.
I'm going
to
let you start that.
I'm going to say most likely to die, Carol. I'm going to say Carol.
All right, I'm going to have to disagree with you. Next week, I don't even think they're going back to that storyline. They're going to keep us waiting like they kept us waiting on Pastor Gabriel.
Showed her in the trailer.
Right. It shows her. Well, I think it showed like the rest of the season in the trailer. It didn't just show the next episode.
Oh, okay.
I think the trailer was like a flash forward.
Okay, like this season on Walking Dead.
Yeah, what's remaining on The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I think we're going to get to the Pastor Gabriel storyline, but he's not going to be the one to die. I think most likely to die is Gregory. I think the next episode we're going to get back to Alexandria. It's going to get invaded. Whatever. Maybe the saviors get loose. The Negan Knights try to kill him. I don't think Gregory's going to last another episode. They brought him back to, Hilltop. They brought him back to the Hilltop just to die.
Okay.
And they better not make him die a hero.
Oh gosh, I hate when they do that.
Die trying to save Maggie. No, yeah. She's pregnant. Jumping in front of the knife or whatever.
Right. Yeah. All right, that's a good one. All right, well, that is all we have. We appreciate you guys listening as always. You can hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com. We're on Twitter @verdictsin, facebook.com/verdictsin, and be sure to leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whichever you use. Until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.